Good afternoon. This is Rob Knapp. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. Mark Shulewitz.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good. Good. Thanks. I have my sales assistant, my client service associate, Cheryl, as well.
Hello.
Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Great. Thank you.
So what I've been doing in the meantime, Rob, is at the end of last week, I went through the first chapter in the coaching guide, and at your suggestion last week, I actually did listen to a chapter, I think it was chapter 12, one of those chapters on the audio, you know, of the book like four or five times. So while I can't recite it word for word, I certainly got pretty familiar with it.
Good. Good, good, good. So what was it about?
It was about basically, not using the word referrals, but meeting with clients, and it was talking to them about meaningful introductions to, their circle of family and friends and how to bring it up in various meetings so that they don't feel, I won't use threatened as a word, but they don't feel, a whole lot of pressure, but I think the idea behind the chapter was for them to feel comfortable about the value that Cheryl and I bring to clients, so that they feel very
right.
Comfortable with introductions to friends.
That's right. That's good.
Yes, right.
That's good. But you can see how even listening to it a few times, it's still not, easy to get the words into a language that you can feel really comfortable in conversation with a client. So it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't think I recognized, even as a coach, how difficult this process is to get financial advisors comfortable with different changes that they're making, particularly when it comes to acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a five-step process in learning that I learned years and years ago. And I think it's very helpful to you as an advisor to clients when you're trying to get them to understand something or to change a behavior, or to understand an idea, or to buy something from you. The steps are curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm.
So repeat those: curiosity.
Interest.
Yeah, curiosity is the first stage. You're curious enough to have called in.
Yeah.
Curiosity, interest. You develop an interest in it. You'll read the book. You'll do some other homework. Curiosity, interest, knowledge. By reading the book, talking to friends, and then hiring me, you increase your knowledge of the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Then something will snap in your brain where you go from knowledge to believing in it. You check with clients and you tell them you're going to be doing this level of service. And they say, that's great. You do it a couple of times. They think it's wonderful. Then you switch to the belief stage. And then you keep doing it. And most of your clients think it's wonderful. And you haven't had that reaction from them in years.
Right.
And you go, and now you're an enthusiastic believer. Okay?
So
yeah, curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. You go through that in almost everything that you learn. Sometimes you never get to the enthusiastic stage because you just it's not a big enough deal for you.
Right, right. So these pertain to sort of how I approach this, right? Like my five stages of going through this, the notes, learning it, then actually doing it, and then actually seeing the results. So it's kind of the process of that, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right.
So when it comes to something specific like the VIPSA process, value, important, permission, suggestion, advice, which is what Bill Cates teaches, you actually have to engage in it. So when we get to that, I will. What we'll do is we'll start practicing using the value question first, without anything else, just the value question.
Okay.
So we're not gonna learn to tie our shoes. We're just gonna learn to put our shoes on.
And in, during the course of the process, we want to keep Cheryl engaged in this too, although I'll be having, you know, the majority of conversations with the clients from my standpoint. Are there scripts? I mean, I haven't looked too far into this yet, Rob, but are there scripts and stuff that will help us along, you know, with picking out the script? Okay. All right.
Yeah, the scripts for everything that you're going to be doing, they're sort of in the back section. The script, you're going to know when you need a script. You're going to say, okay, I need a script for this. And I'll say, okay, look in the back section. There's a script for, well, for example, you know, how do you tell a client they're going to get fired, right? How do you tell a client they're going to get accepted into your new practice? So the question becomes, how do you kind of reintroduce yourself so that these changes make a big impact on them? And that's really what you want. You're gonna do more work. You want to get twice as much out of this as you put into it. If you just put in more work and or more focus and you didn't get more out of it, you'd say, you know, this wasn't a good investment. So we want to make it a good investment. So what we want to do is we want to make it a big deal to the client. We don't want to give anonymously in this case. So we're going to change what we do for clients. We're going to give them more, but instead of just giving it to them, we're going to tell them that we're doing it.
Good.
And they're going to go, if you do it right and you tell them properly, their reaction should be, wow, how are you going to be able to do all that? Now, the timing is great, right? Because compression, I mean, nothing was more clear in terms of compression on pricing than it was this week, right? Pricing went to zero on transactions.
Oh, I saw that this morning with
Schwab, zero. So your clients are sitting there going, wait a minute, it used to be $4.95, now it's zero.
Right.
How's that possible? And how can they stay in business? And if they're going to do that, what are you going to do for me? Right? So now you get into the compression game. So you've got to change the conversation, not about price, but about value. And clearly we have to deliver, we have to be something other than what we were. I mean, we always talk about becoming financial advisors and financial consultants rather than brokers. But just think about it. The value of a broker just went to zero. If you hired him just to do transactions.
Right.
So, so now, just think about it. Okay, so thus, do the things that we do really do for clients that create value. Do they become essential to who we are now? Not just nice additions. No, they are who we are. That's who we are now.
Right.
So when we talk about we're going to offer multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of those will be in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? They're going to go, wow, how are you going to be able to do that? And you're going to say, because I have I have to restrict myself to fewer clients.
Oh, I see.
They're going to hold their breath, and they're going to say, "Am I one of them?" And you're going to say, "Yes, congratulations, you are one of them."
Okay. Yeah.
And this is what we're going to do for you, and this is what I'm asking that you do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a bilateral contract then, a new one. And what are they going to do for you? Well, they're going to be there for you. Just like with every other profession,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be there. Meaning, when we set up an appointment for our monthly calls,
mm-hmm.
we're avoiding phone tag, procrastination, interruptions, unnecessary meetings. We're getting rid of all the insidious thieves of time for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's essential that you be there. So if you can't make that meeting, it's essential you call.
That's what you mean by being there. Okay, I understand. All right.
Right. Because this is an appointment. This is a very important appointment. It's not a casual drop-in.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Now, if you're crushed for time, just tell me up front. I'm crushed for time. And we'll go right to the most essential conversation that we have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be done and we can be done in 10 minutes. If you have time, we go through the entire agenda. Now, it may be only 4 items.
Mm-hmm.
It may be 10 items. It just depends on the client and what you're working on.
Okay. Now, I'm just from Cheryl's standpoint, Cheryl's going to be doing the scheduling and the following up and things like that. If people...
she's also going to be doing the agendas.
Yeah.
And then the executive summaries.
Okay. So the agenda...
Now, you can create an agenda and give it to her and she can send it out. Or you can do it together or she can do it based on the previous agenda that you had. And any additions that you make.
I just want to fill Cheryl in. So what happens is, and Rob, stop me if I'm missing something, but when we set up the schedule with clients, we're going to have an email go out to them with what I'm going to talk about. So you send that out. Then we confirm with them, and then we have a summary email goes out to them afterwards about what we spoke about. So it's at least those 3 things, right, Rob, in addition to making the appointment, too, or setting
right. Yeah, so when we say we're contacting our clients 12 times a year, we're really not. If you include emails
mm-hmm.
and other contacts, we're probably contacting them close to 50 times a year.
Right, okay.
Okay? So it changes the whole game. They become, and this is the way I explain it to clients. Most clients have opportunities to be on boards where they meet monthly. We had a family office group and you were paying me $2 million a year to run it for you, we would meet monthly, probably in person every month.
Mm.
We would have an agenda, and then I'd send you an executive summary of that.
Okay.
So we run it like your own private personal family office group, or you can think of it as a corporate board where you're the CEO, I'm your CFO.
I like the family office.
You like the family office?
Yeah, I like that actually, because I know what it is. Most people probably don't, but I like your analogy of, you're going to pay me $2 million a year, we're going to meet every month and go through everything. It's modeled after that. I think they'd like that,
And it's a great way when they say, I'm paying you $70,000 a year. Why am I paying you that? You can say, if you hired me for a family office group, I would charge you $2 million a year.
Yeah.
And we'd be doing pretty much the same things we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's really kind of a bargain at 70 grand.
Okay. All right.
No, I mean, really, you've got to be aggressive, when it comes to pricing.
Yep. Okay.
And you've got to deliver, right? You've got to deliver meaningful agendas. The agenda has to be meaningful. And not to get too far off track, but one of the things we'll do is we'll create a 24-month calendar
mm-hmm.
of items that are recurring and non-recurring. So you have a calendar right now of things you need to talk to your clients about. The problem is you don't have it written down.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to just take it and write it down. And there's a sample in the book.
Okay.
And okay. in the workbook. But basically it's, you know, required minimum distributions begins in October, right, or November, whenever you feel like you start to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You have April, you know, for IRAs and other things. And then you've got outlook for the year in January, and you've got tax selling in December and November. So
mm-hmm.
you have those things on the
yep.
– so those are part of the 24-month calendar. Those would be fixed
mm-hmm.
every year. You do those things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, you have all the non-recurring items that appear in most financial plans that we never get around to.
Okay.
And those would be, you know, revisiting beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
Revisiting titling. Is everything titled properly? Revisiting things like long-term care. Is that still an item that we should even have on the agenda, or is it something we should own?
So, Rob, year over year, do you find, I'm sure some of these things stay the same, but is this something like Cheryl and I would sit down with, like in December, and plan out the next 12 months?
I suggest you do a 24-month calendar, and the reason that is because then you don't have to do it at the end of every year,
right.
and you have
okay.
more time to prepare. So part of the I will show you part of the team organization is organizing yourself so that you have roles and responsibilities, and the role of the director of implementation is to plan a month in advance of each month and make sure typically that the team gets trained on the topic. So, for example, we're going to do liability training, and we're going to talk about everything from securitized loans to mortgages in that month. The team needs to know what interest rates are and what are mortgage rates for different things. And you got to have your cheat sheets in front of you.
Right.
And so,
right.
so you know, Cheryl does that, you do that, whoever, you know. So you're well prepared so that when you go into that first call, it's not like it's your first call.
Right.
It's
right,
like
right.
it's your 20th call because you've practiced and you know what you're going to say. And the client goes, you know what, that's really interesting because I don't need a mortgage, but my son does. So that would be great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So you sell a mortgage, right?
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So
yep.
everything becomes, Cheryl, you'll see this, everything becomes proactive. There's nothing reactive. So the phone will not ring. No one will call because they know they're getting calls and they know they're going to be talking about these topics down the road. I have about 50% of the people that send out the 24-month calendar in advance, just the topics, so the clients know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
That it does a couple things. It says I'm really organized, and it says you don't need to talk about mortgages because it's coming up in 2 months.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, you mean if it comes up with a client conversation in between, is that what you mean? Or are you saying on one of my calls I don't talk about mortgages because it's coming up in a couple
well,
of months?
Yeah, the clients don't need to talk. You know, the client's going to see that agenda and they'll say, oh, you know, we're going to be talking about required minimum distributions in October, so I don't need to talk about that in September.
That's good. Okay.
Now, see what I mean? They are prepared too. So everybody's prepared. I mean, how many times do you call a client and they have no clue what you're going to talk about? Well, that's not fair, right?
Most of the time, yeah, right, right.
Right.
Okay.
They know exactly what you're going to be calling because you gave them an agenda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that we do, Mark, and I didn't do it today, but I will do this in the future, is before we get started, I may have done it just out of habit, but I always ask, what's on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's a short way of saying, look, I've got an agenda, you've got an agenda, but before I get to my agenda, what's on yours?
So is that sort of, I think that's written in on the top of the agendas, isn't it? Like, what's changed with your goal? Okay, that's important. Okay. All right.
It's really important because something really good could have happened and something really bad could have happened. And here you go droning on about the market and the person just lost their job or their wife just got diagnosed with some horrible disease.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you don't want to be the leader when it comes to urgency things.
Okay. That's good. And by the way, Rob, just so I don't forget, the folders that you're recommending that we keep here for client notes and things, and the client folders that clients get, when should we order those things?
Now. Yeah, everything can be done now.
All right. I'll talk to Cheryl about that afterwards. I'll explain her.
Yeah, you want to get the folders. You want to get the scheduler from Cindy. There's I don't want to overwhelm you, but, you know, you need to have the tools.
And the folders online on the Supernova website I saw, Rob, it's like $500 for the whole. It seems like a lot of money for a couple of hundred decent folders. Is that, you know what I'm saying?
We buy them we give them to you at cost.
Okay.
If you can buy them cheaper, God bless you.
All right. But they have to be a certain kind just to sort of fit the process, right?
Yeah, and, you know, people say to me, well, I want to get leather folders and all this stuff. I said, you know, don't waste your money. Clients like the simple folder, the medical folder.
Yeah.
And if you lose it, you know, it's $4 or $5 or something. It's not, you know, okay. $25 or $50 or $100.
Okay.
So the other thing is when they get the leather bound folder, they put it up on the shelf and they never use it. This one they see as a tool to work with.
It's bright. Yeah, okay.
See what I mean?
Okay. Yep. Fine. All right.
This is a significant investment of your time and money. But it should be a complete transformation of your practice.
I think it's going to be good. I just it's just a lot because, you know, Rob, my business partner Dave, he's old school. He's like, look, Mark, do this for a while, and let's see how it goes. As I mentioned to you on our last call, so it's basically going to be me and Cheryl working on this. You know,
yep.
So I know there's a lot of stuff in here, but what I look forward to doing, you know, is doing as much as I possibly can. You know. In terms of networking and centers of influence and all that kind of stuff too, so you know, I'm very positive about it. I'm kind of all in, like you mentioned. You're either in or out, so you know.
No, it's true. You are. You know, if you're in, you'll. I just said the call before this was an amazing call. It was a guy that I had done business with, had gone through the program 10 years ago. I didn't put him through. My friend Rob Schaefer did. And he did great. And then he doubled his business and tripled his business. And then he went completely flat. And he called me and he said, I want to go through the training 100% again, right? All through it, every single bit of it. And I said, good, because it's changed so much that you'll find it worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing so well. It's unbelievable. He's a remarkable guy, but what happens is, you know, no matter how good you are, when you're a sole practitioner, you get kind of stale.
Right.
And he got stale. But now he's having so much fun. He handed a lawyer a copy of my book and told him, you know, here I am, going to double my business again. you got to read this book. This is amazing. It works.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I forgot how well it worked.
Yep.
So he's the best student all over again. You know, he went from the best student to nothing, completely flat, not doing any of the acquisition, to now he's doing all the acquisition strategies. Things are working. He's so excited. It's just it's a very rewarding occupation I'm in. If you have people that want to really get into it, because
right. It's
just, of course, as good as you put the energy into it.
So let me ask you this. Where does, like, I already kind of started going through my client base, and Cheryl's helped me a little bit too with Touchstone. I've identified clients I want to keep, and I've identified clients I want to get rid of. When does that all sort of start, you know?
Now. Everything starts now.
Okay.
So we have 4 weeks of segmentation, and we should be done with segmentation in 4 weeks. If there's situations where you and I want to talk about it,
yeah,
great. But we want to get down to less than 100 clients. 70 is ideal. 100 is the max, so that you can have time for acquisition and you have time for a life. We never tell you to work more hours with Supernova. You may temporarily in order to, you know, get the folders built or make some phone calls, but our purpose is to make you work smarter and more focused.
Okay.
But not more hours. Double your business by putting in no more hours.
Okay, so let me ask you that then. Let me ask you something here. If I bring up a computer, I want to bring up a spreadsheet that I put together at the end of last week. Bear with me here. Documents. I have a Supernova folder here. And I have a spreadsheet. Client segmentation above 250. So let me just tell you, Rob, what our business, what my piece of our team business looks like that I'm working on. So right now, hang on a second, just scrolling down here. Okay, I have 90 clients that are over $250,000 each, with about $94 million in assets. Just my piece of our team work, you know, team. So that comes out to be roughly about $1 million per household of those 90 clients, right? So, I mean, I'm at 90 clients right now, and these are tossing aside the ones that are like non-productive, just whatever, just they're not worth keeping. You know, eventually I'll do something with those soon. So I'm kind of in that 90 number now already, right?
Yeah, that's good. You probably want to get down to 80 or something like that.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, because, look, remember, there are 11 different criteria in the book. So it's not just assets.
Yeah.
You want to have people, and we'll go into this in much more detail, but the idea is there's three criteria you want to have in clients. One, they've done a financial plan. Two, they listen to you. And three, they pay you a fee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If they don't meet those criteria, then they're not really a client. They're a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And we either convert customers or we get rid of customers.
Okay. Those are the three credentials. They have done a plan. I know this is in your reading, but I just so done a plan. Listen to us and pay us a fee. I mean, a lot of our clients aren't fee based, but we still have clients who pay commissions. So that would be included, right? They're paying us for our advice.
But we want them to pay a fee eventually. Okay, I'm not telling you how you should run your business, but basically, when somebody pays you a retainer, they're saying, I'm paying you for your intellect.
I see.
I'm paying you for your advice. I'm not paying you for transactions.
So you're saying all the advice we'll be giving them, that's how you can substantiate a management fee, because you
that's
get it
right.
To like a retainer. Okay. All right. All
right. Right.
Yep. Yep.
So we want our clients from an efficiency. I'm an efficiency expert for you. I want to raise your productivity.
Okay.
So the most efficient system is where you really know the client well.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a financial plan.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying you a fee, and they take your advice. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
So
okay.
That's really efficient, right? You're not arguing with anybody. They're paying you a fee, and you know who they are, and you know what they need. So everybody's
yes.
working. Everybody's on the same team. So you think about the other people, okay? You've got to talk them into making a transaction. They don't pay you a fee. They haven't done a financial plan. And they don't really trust you. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's an adversarial relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to go from an adversarial relationship to one that is we're both partners. Both trying to achieve the same thing with 100% of our energy.
Okay. Okay. What about all the stuff in the first chapter, like butlers, you know, stuff like that? You haven't mentioned anything like that. I'm just looking through the first chapter, Rob. I mean,
idea is that you know, what do we do with the children of our best clients?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is you make them a butler. Assuming they've reached the age of majority and they have some money, right?
At the age of majority and they have some money, okay, yeah.
Right, have, you know, $250,000 or something, you know, they have enough. You want to make them a butler and talk to them quarterly. One of those are in person. And you want to do a financial plan for them.
You do, okay, all right. What about the clients, you know, that have very little money with you, but their parents have over $1 million? I mean, are those just sort of checking with them once in a while? They don't really have much assets with us. They will be getting the money eventually, but it's a while off. I mean, and you can't get rid of those clients because they're, you know, they're the kids.
Right. The kids of your clients, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the butlers.
Even though they only have like 15 grand, you know, something like that, they're in the mid-20s, they have 15 or 20,000 that was given to them by their parents.
You want them to be a client or not a client. So you take your client,
mm-hmm.
and if they have, let's say your minimum, we got to establish our minimum today too. But let's say our minimum is $1 million and $10,000 of assets, of production, right? Of income,
yep. Yep.
revenues, right? All right,
yep.
So we look at a client and our minimum's $1 million and they have 4 children.
Yep.
What happens when the parents die?
It gets divvied up most likely four ways.
And how much of that do you think you're going to end up with?
Well, if there's no relationship, you know, probably... At this point, you know,
no.
probably a couple of relationships maybe. You know, sometimes they leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that doesn't meet your minimum anyway, so it's not going to be worth your energy.
I see.
Okay. Now, if the guy's got $5 million and he's got 2 children.
Right.
Got it?
Yes. So, okay.
See what I'm saying? You yeah. make a business decision.
It's a business decision on who to talk to. And all right,
right.
So I'll make a note of that. All right, business. All
now,
right,
the rule of common sense trumps all other rules. Okay?
Okay.
So the guy's got $1 million and he's got 4 children. But he's the CEO of a major pharmaceutical company.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you keep the kids, right?
Right. Of course, it's going to be big payoff. Most of our clients, Rob, just so you know, for our notes, we don't have big CEOs and stuff like that. The 80% of our clients are client people that are close to retired or retirees. That's our bread and butter, you know. Because as I read
that's
through,
that's important to know, because that means that there's probably not a lot more money coming in. So when we look at our minimums, we have what we're going to get.
That,
okay.
And also, yeah, but also our assets are coming in because of selling homes. So existing clients are sending in some money recently too. That's the only like major liquidity event I see happening in our book, you know, selling homes.
Yep.
And referrals. But okay.
And they're depleting some of those assets, right? Because they're distributing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So I know who your clients are now. That's important to know. Okay. So let's establish our we were working on the maximum number of clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
Less than 100, hopefully closer to 80.
Okay.
Minimum account size and then ideal account size. So your minimum account size would be your total number of assets divided by the total number of clients. So that would be a million, or, you know, that's pretty simple. You did it. You did the math, right?
Even though we have, I have one client, it's got like almost $7 million. I mean, she throws things off a little bit, you know? I mean,
if it was 20, if it was 50 million, I'd say yes, throw them out, but seven is not that big.
Okay, fine. All right. This is where I can get my, I'm going to listen to you. All right.
And then then we want to look at our top 25 clients and look at the top 20 clients, the average of our top 20 clients. So that would be literally 20 clients for you. So you want to look at the average of the top 20, and that is our target.
That's our
because
target.
We don't want to ever get more than 100 clients, right? So we don't want large numbers. We want to replace our clients at the bottom. So we're going to fire the bottom 20.
All right.
We're going to replace them with people that look like the top 20.
Okay.
And that, by the way, that if you did that tomorrow, that would almost double your business.
Okay. All right. Say that again. If we did what tomorrow? If we took.
If you got the average of your top 20% and you brought in 20 clients that look like those people, exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then you fired the bottom 20%, you would come very close to doubling your business.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. It's still having 80 clients? Still having 80 clients, though, right?
Right, still have 80 clients.
So let me write that down. So having 80 clients, and bringing in 20 more clients with the average household size of what my top 20 clients are now, right?
Right.
Or all clients have, okay, all right. How many clients?
And then you get rid of the bottom 20.
Get rid of the bottom 20. Okay, and get rid of, I want to make sure we're saying this right, Rob, because this gives me a goal to work towards.
The average target would be like 80, right?
Get rid of
Yeah, so then you get rid of the bottom 20. So you had this exact same number that you started with, whether you started with 90 or 80 or whatever you started with, you still have the same number of clients.
Yeah.
And you would have doubled your business or come very close to it.
Okay. So eventually, are you saying all of the clients, average household is what the average household of our top 20 clients are right now? You're saying all of our clients eventually, or you're saying all of our clients have the same average as the top 20% of our clients right now? That double
business? Eventually, theoretically, eventually, if you continued to do this, eventually you'd be reassigning all your clients, and you'd have a whole new book.
I see. But to double your business, say it one more time, you need to do what?
You need to just match 20% of your clients give you 80% of your revenues, right?
Yes.
So if you took the top 20% and you simply duplicated them.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
20 times.
So I'm going to take the right. I'm going to take the average of my top 20%. I'm going to duplicate them. So now I have 40 of those people instead of 20.
Yeah.
I would have come very close to doubling my business.
Because 80% of your business comes from 20% of your clients. All right. All right.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I need to write this down to understand. All right, I'm with you.
So when we here's the reason I go through that exercise is because I want you to focus. See, up to now, and I'm not telling you what you've done. I don't know. But the typical advisor, up to the time they meet me, has brought in clients on a rather random basis. Okay?
Right.
And they're happy when they get somebody with a million or 250,000 or 5 million, and they get what they get.
Right.
And they're happy to have the clients that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then they meet me and I say, no, that's, you don't have time now. You are a mature business. You're a smart guy. You deserve to have clients that look like the top 20% of your practice. So that's
right.
Who we're going to go. We're going to go get those people.
Okay.
Now, your mind has amazing power, and you've done this in other things. Whatever you focus on is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you believe you deserve it.
Okay. All right. I've heard that over and over through the years, but we've just never done that. Or we haven't gotten ourselves, Rob, in front of the right people to help us find those people. And that's what I'm hoping the program is going to help us do as well, you know?
It will. It will.
All right.
I mean, this guy, I'm teaching him how to prospect socially in the community. And so he's now meeting the right people to get on the right boards to spend time with the people in the community that have the money.
Good. That'll be another for another day, but that's what I want to do, yeah. Eventually,
and you become just to share with you. I mean, you're at a different stage than he is, but I mean, one of the things I teach is for you to become a connector,
mm-hmm.
and a connector is somebody that connects people and does people favors and helps people. That's your job,
mm-hmm.
is to be a connector. Find out what people need, introduce them to people that solve their problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's when you go out into the community, that's who you are.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
It's a little different than what we've been taught.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So, what do you have those numbers for me? The top 20% of your practice, the average of your top 20%.
You know, hold on. If Touchstone got it to me, hang on a second. Let me just. Four percent, top 50%, next 30%, 16%, 4%. I have this color printout that I got from this MAP program, Rob. I just don't know if I have exactly what you need. So you need the average assets of the top 20% of our book, right?
Right.
I have to get that to you. I got to make sure I'm getting the accurate numbers. I'll get that to you in the next day or so.
So you're working with Will on that, or Ben Elgi, or who are you working with at Touchstone?
I'm working with Will, actually. Will, yeah.
Okay. So tell Will, we need the top 20%. When he does the map, see if they can adjust it so that they can do the top 20%. because that's a number that we're going to use over and over again.
Okay.
And they should align their program to what we're doing.
All right. So
they don't need we don't need all the rest of those numbers. We just need the, you know, it's the 80-20 rule. So they should be using that, right?
Yep. Okay. So average household of a 20% number. Okay. I will get that. Want me to just email that to you? You have that in your notes? Okay. And that's going to be our target, Rob, right? But in terms of the minimum household size, it's $1 million in assets, right, based on the 90-90 that I gave you.
Right. It's $1 million and $10,000 in fees or whatever you charge. You charge 1% pretty much?
You know what we've done? Let me ask you this. We've done 1.5 up to 500, 1.25 500 to $1 million, and then 1% over $1 million. But in your book, I heard you say one of your FAs you worked with did 1.5% up to $1 million and then 1% over $1 million. So...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of multi-tier pricing, but it's okay. We'll just use 1%. We'll just use the 1% because that's over $1 million. That meets our minimum, so that's 10,000.
Fine. Okay.
So it's $1 million and it's 10,000.
Okay, fine. Let's just do that. And I'm going to have Cheryl get in touch with Cindy, or who? Where would she get the
schedule? Cindy. Cindy can train Cheryl on the scheduler on how to schedule clients out so that they don't all drop on the same day.
Okay.
And then she will tell her how to order the book, the folders.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. So I think, is this how it works, Rod? Basically, we have a call. You kind of talk about some from each chapter. Is that you highlight like sort of the chapters each week? Is that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what you want to do is you want to have a meeting before this where you and Cheryl get together and make sure you've done your homework.
Yep.
Then you want to have a meeting right after this for, you know, 15 minutes, whatever it takes to make sure everybody knows what they're going to be doing for next week.
Okay, good.
Now, the other thing to do is to watch the video. There's a video for each week. And that will teach you the material that we're going to cover for that week. And then this session is supposed to be about questions that you have on that video and on the homework. It is not supposed to be me teaching you the chapter.
I understand. So prepare before next call and
correct.
Go through the video.
Correct.
Now, will the video get emailed to me? Is that what I read somewhere?
The video gets emailed every week.
Every week. Okay. And... okay, do we have something now for next week, Rob? Because I'm going to be out next Wednesday. Normally Wednesdays are fine, but it's a Jewish holiday next week, so.
Roger. You can just email, when you talk to Cheryl, just say reschedule that one from next Wednesday to, you know, we'll just not have it next Wednesday. We'll just skip 1 week, and that'll give you a chance to get the folders and get all ready and get started anyway.
Great. All right, and like you said, we'll get going on the folders. I'll get the scheduler. Cheryl will get the scheduler. And I'll get you the 20% number and anything else. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's a good start. There's plenty to do, but you know, that's plenty. That's plenty of a good start.
Great. All right, great.
All right, we're gonna have fun. This is great. Congratulations.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Cheryl. Thank you, Mark. Bye bye.
Thank you, Rob.
We'll see you.
Thanks. Bye.